The title of my message is a rather unusual one. The message today is called The Betrayer and the Believer. The Betrayer and the Believer. And if you look at John chapter 18, we come to the scene where Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane. And there are two men that I want to concentrate on my sermon, and that is Judas, the betrayer, and Peter, the believer. Both of them are in the garden when the Lord Jesus is arrested. Let me see if you go to John chapter 18, verse 1 there. When Jesus has spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Now twice in this chapter, chapter 18 of the book of John, in verses 2 and also in verses 5, we read the fact that Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus. Hundreds of years before, we read about his betrayal. Hundreds of years before, the prophet Zechariah wrote about that betrayal. And he said in Zechariah 11, verse 12, "And I said unto them, if ye think good, give me my price, and if not, forbear. So they weighed for my price 30 pieces of silver." Judas was not only the betrayer, but Judas also was a thief. He was a thief. He was the treasurer of the group. And as you read the Bible, you'll understand that people supported the ministry of the Lord Jesus financially. Just how people support the ministry of the church and missionaries today, in Jesus' day, Jesus himself was supported by others. Let me read you a few verses. "And it came to pass," this is Luke chapter 8, verse 1, "and it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna the wife of Chusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him out of their substance." So there were women that ministered to the Lord Jesus. They ministered, I think, in practical areas, but also in financial areas. And so the group, as they ministered, as they went about for 3 years ministering with the Lord Jesus, they had a treasurer, and the treasurer was actually Judas. John 12, verse 6, speaking here of Judas, "He was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in." So he used to take what was put in to the money box. The Bible declares that Judas was a betrayer by what he's done. The Bible declares that Judas was a thief. Judas, I believe, in actual fact, was an idolater. He was involved in idolatry. His god, or one of his gods, certainly was money. John 12, verse 1. The Bible shows here the first words of Judas that we find recorded in the book of John. And the first words of Judas relate to money. John 12, verse 1. "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Jesus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for the day of my burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not have always." So here is Jesus at the house of Mary, Martha and Lazarus. And here we have Mary taking this very costly, fragrant oil and anointing the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here we have Judas. And Judas complains about the cost of her worship. Sacrificial love for the Lord Jesus. Expensive love for the Saviour. And yet Judas the traitor, Judas the thief, complains about the cost. That shows you what type of person he was. He's an idolater. He is a thief. He was a betrayer. And you think about Judas, 3 years in the company of the Son of God, 3 years seeing the miracles of Jesus, 3 years seeing the compassion of the Lord Jesus to others, 3 years of seeing perfect love showed out to all humanity, the rich and the poor, the despised and the loved. The Lord Jesus showed love to all. 3 years in his midst. 3 years witnessing the obedience of the Lord Jesus to his Father. 3 years Judas heard the word of God from the lips of Jesus. 3 years in the best Bible college that any man had had amongst the disciples. Judas sat and heard the word of God from the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet Judas was an idolater. Judas's idol was his money. You know, what a lesson for the people of God today. You can be in the presence of the people of God for years and be an unbeliever. You can be hearing God's word regularly and be an unbeliever. You can look as though you're a trusted disciple and you can be an unbeliever. You can be in church leadership or lecturing at a Bible college, or you can be a bishop or a cardinal or a pastor or an archbishop or even the Pope and be an unbeliever. How tragic it was. Matthew 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will ye give me? And I will deliver him unto you." This is Judas betraying the Lord Jesus. "And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver." And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Judas sold his soul for money. And then he sold the pure, precious Son of God for the price of a slave. 30 pieces of silver. Judas desired riches. You know, the Bible warns against riches. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 9, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Paul's warning Timothy here. A man that sat at the teaching of Paul, a man that was a disciple of the Apostle Paul, and he warns Timothy about the dangers of riches. In verse 11, "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." The Lord Jesus said, "For what is it a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Do you know that you can go to hell from the pew if you're not saved? You can go to hell from a pulpit if you're not saved. You can go to hell from a cathedral or hell from a choir if you're not saved. If you have not come to know Christ as Saviour, you can sing hymns but not know Him. Do you know that? There are people, I'm sure, all around the world that sing about the Lord Jesus. They sing hymns about Him, but they don't know Him. There are Judases in theological colleges, and Judases in cathedrals, and Judases in churches, and Judases in choirs, and Judases in positions of ministry. What a lesson Judas is for us. Judas complained and criticised when Mary conducted expensive sacrificial worship just 6 days before the Passover, where Jesus would die as the Lamb of God for the sins of the world. What a heartless man he was. Jesus is heading for Calvary, and he complains about the cost of worship. He complains about a woman's devotion, a woman that had been intimately affected by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. I started pastoring in 1995, and over the years I've met people whose main ministry seems to be criticism. James 1 verse 26, "If any man among you seems to be religious and bridles not his tongue but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." When Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." The first words in the book of John, recorded about Judas, are in relation to the criticism of Mary's devotion to Jesus. You know, as I studied about the life of Judas, there's another interesting thing. Go through the scriptures, and I went through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and I could never find a case where Judas calls Jesus Lord. The other disciples call Jesus Lord, but never Judas. Isn't that strange? Never ever does he call Jesus Lord. Matthew 26, Jesus told his disciples that someone would betray him. And this is their answer in Matthew 26, 22. "And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I?" Go down to verse 25. "Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I?" Verse 48. "Now he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he." This is Judas talking. "Hold him fast." And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, "Hail, Master," and kissed him. Other translations will say, "Hail, Rabbi." But in all my reading about Judas, in Matthew, Mark and Luke and John, I never ever find him calling Jesus Lord. Judas was a traitor. Judas was a thief. Judas was a betrayer. Judas was an unbeliever. 3 years in ministry with the Lord Jesus, seeing incredible miracles, hearing incredible words, being with the most perfect man that has ever walked this earth, and yet Judas remained an unbeliever. Jesus said of Judas, Matthew 26, verse 24, "Woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." The sad thing about Judas was that he was only born once. He wasn't born twice. Jesus said, "You must be born again." For us to go to heaven, we need to be born twice. Judas was only born once. He was only born physically once. He had the opportunity, I believe, of a spiritual birth, but he didn't take it. He wasn't born again. Born once, and he's going to die twice, physically and spiritually. He did. He died twice. Physically and spiritually, and he's going to go on and experience what is called the second death. I believe that Judas at the moment is in a place called Hades. It's a waiting place. Some people refer it to as hell. And there he's waiting until he's going to be brought out to the great white throne judgment, and then he'll be thrown into the lake of fire, the second death. I want to ask you this morning, are you born again? Are you absolutely sure that when you die that you are going to go to heaven? If you're not sure, you're in a dangerous place. If you're not sure, speak to me before you go home and I'll show you how you can be born again. Born once, die twice. Born twice, die once. Die once physically and then you're in the throne room of God. That's the good news for the Christian. I want to ask you this morning, are you in the faith? You know, when they looked at Judas, no one suspected. Jesus knew what Judas was going to do, but no one, not the other disciples, they did not expect that their treasurer was a thief, that their man that had journeyed in ministry with them for 3 years, they did not expect, because they said, "Is it I?" They were wondering if they were the betrayers. They didn't say, "Is it Judas? Is it I?" they said. No one suspected Judas, except, of course, the Lord Jesus. And you know, you might be very religious. You might have been a member of this church for 20, 30, 40 years. People might look upon you and see, "Oh, they're a good person." But I want to ask you this morning, are you fooling others? Or are you born again? And I trust that many of you here are born again, but I don't believe everyone would be listening to me. Are you born again? Do you know Jesus Christ as Saviour? When Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 13, he said, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith." In 2 Peter, in his epistle, he said, "Give diligence to make your calling and election sure." I wonder, is your life characterised by devotion to the Lord Jesus? And if you're devoted to the Lord Jesus, I believe you'll be devoted to his work. You'll be seeking to seek and save that which is lost. You'll be seeking to reach others with the gospel. You'll be seeking to live a holy life. You'll be seeking to have a good testimony. You'll be seeking to be both light and salt in the world. You'll be lights in this dark place that we live in now. I wonder, is Jesus prominent in your life? Do you adore the Lord Jesus? Are you thankful to the Lord Jesus that he went to the cross for you and I? And do you live your life for him? Judas, it appears, lived his life for money. Do things come before Jesus in your life? Does ambition come before Jesus? Does work come before Jesus? Does sport come before Jesus? Do hobbies come before Jesus? Does travelling come before Jesus? Does relationships come before Jesus? Judas was an idolater. Luke 14, verse 27, "And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Are you bearing a cross for the Lord Jesus? Are you suffering for him? Are you willing to suffer for him? Are you his disciples? If you have a critical mouth like Judas, are you betraying the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus wants us to love others and not to hate them. John 14, verse 23, Jesus says this, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words." You know, some of the harshest criticism that Jesus had was for the religious people of his day. Jesus, addressing the scribes and the Pharisees, said this, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity." The harshest criticism of the Lord Jesus was referred to those that were in leadership, the scribes and the Pharisees, those that had the very words of God, but those that disobeyed the words of God. We see in the Garden of Gethsemane two figures in the life of Jesus. We see Judas, the betrayer, and we also see Peter, the believer. Judas takes upon himself to betray Jesus, and Peter in the Garden of Gethsemane takes it upon himself to defend the Lord Jesus. Luke 18, verse 2, "And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, 'Whom are you seeking?' They answered him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' Jesus said to them, 'I am he.' And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, 'Whom are you seeking?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.'" We know what Peter tried to do. He took the sword, the physical sword, and he swiped off the ear of the high priest's servant, Malchus. And he used the physical sword. Judas betrayed Jesus. Peter tried to defend Jesus. Peter didn't need to defend Jesus. He didn't need to take up the sword, but he did. Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. What a scene in the Garden of Gethsemane. And some people say there could have been between 300 and 600 soldiers accompanying the chief priests to the garden. 300 to 600 people, and when Jesus says, "I am he," they fall over. Why? Well, they were standing in the presence of the great I am. They were standing in the presence of God, and Jesus announced, "I am." He was stating that he was God. They didn't have a chance against God. And yet Peter wanted to protect the Lord Jesus. Remember, the name I am is associated with the burning bush. When God spoke to Moses out of the burning bush, Genesis 3 verse 14, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." The soldiers all fall down. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was a Roman soldier, I'd be starting to think, I don't really want to be involved in this arrest. I'd be starting to think, I need to get out of here. This man speaks. Soldiers fall. It reminds me what the Bible says is going to happen in Philippians 2 verse 9. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. One day every knee will bow, believers and unbelievers, atheists and agnostics. All people one day are going to bow the knee before the Lord Jesus. Every enemy will acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those soldiers fell over in the presence of the great I Am. I wonder, have you ever knelt before the great I Am in surrender? I surrender. Have you ever said that? I surrender. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Jesus, for shedding your blood on the cross of Calvary. Thank you, Jesus. I surrender. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me? We see in verse 12, then the detachment of troops and the captain and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him. You know, it was a mistake that Peter made there. Actually, when you read Peter's life, he made lots of mistakes. Remember last week when Jesus set his disciples, he gave them a job, a task in the Garden of Gethsemane. Do you know what that task was? It was to pray. And what did Peter and the others do? They fell asleep. They were reminded three times that they should pray, and three times they were asleep. The Apostle Peter certainly made mistakes in his life. He made mistakes in Gethsemane, in the area of prayer. He made a mistake in Gethsemane in trying to defend the Lord Jesus with a physical sword. Peter was violent towards the enemies of Christ. He physically hurt a man, and he shouldn't have done that. Peter, I believe, gave a false testimony to the enemies of Jesus, that the disciples of Jesus hate the enemies. That was a wrong testimony. Jesus said in Matthew 5:43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbour and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. In these last hours of Jesus' life, Peter certainly made mistakes. Prayerless, violence, faithless. You read that he makes more mistakes as he leaves the Garden of Gethsemane. Actually, all the disciples do. If you read the Gospel of Mark, chapter 14, verse 50, it says this, then they all forsook him and fled. Well, Peter keeps making mistakes. He leaves Gethsemane and he makes three major mistakes, three more major mistakes. What were they? He denies Christ three times. He denies Christ three times. The betrayer and the believer, both of them made mistakes. But one was destined for hell and the other was destined for heaven. What was the difference? The difference was faith. One word, faith. Judas did not place his faith in Jesus Christ. as his Lord and God and Saviour. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Remember what I said about Judas. Judas never ever called Jesus Lord in the scriptures. He never truly believed and trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 6, the Bible says here, it is the Spirit, this is Jesus talking, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. The Lord Jesus knows this morning who believes and who does not believe. Remember in the presence of the Philippian jailer, he wanted to know how he could be saved. And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your household. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus for your salvation? You can go to hell from the pew, or you can go to heaven from the pew. Which direction are you going? 1 John 5 verse 11, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written to you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. John wanted people to know that they can have a home in heaven. And the way that we have a home in heaven is believing on the name of the Son of God and on his work at Calvary, dying for our sins on the cross. You remember in Matthew 16 that Jesus asked his disciples a question. He said, but who do you say that I am? That's in verse 15. And here we have the words of Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter was a believer. Judas was a betrayer. Judas did not trust Jesus as Saviour. You know, I believe that Judas could have trusted Christ. He had so much evidence before him in the 3 years that he journeyed with Jesus. He did ministry with Jesus. He saw the miracles of Jesus. He saw the majesty of Jesus. He saw the wonderful things that Jesus did. He saw love incarnate. He saw God in human form. He saw the Word who became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He saw God face to face, and I believe he had every opportunity to come to Christ as Saviour. You know, the Bible indicates in 2 Peter 3 verse 9, in relation to the Lord, that he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I believe that was God's will for Judas as well. Well, you know, it's interesting when you read the last words of people. I don't know if you know what the last words of Judas are. Do you know what the last words of Peter are? Let me tell you, the last words of the betrayer and the last words of the believer. I'll read them to you. Matthew 27 verse 4, this is the betrayer. Judas, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood. And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." This is before the chief priests and the elders. That's what they said to him. He said, these are his last words. "Last recorded words in the Bible of Judas, I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." Verse 5. Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Sin deceives the conscience. Sin darkens the mind. Sin destroys the body, and sin damns the soul. Judas made mistakes. He was a betrayer. Peter made mistakes, but he was a believer. Look at the last words of Peter in the Bible in contrast to Judas's words. The last words we find in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. And this is the words of a believer encouraging the early church. And Peter says, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen." The betrayer, "I have betrayed innocent blood." The believer, "To him be glory, both now and forever. Amen." What a difference in those two men. One betrayed and one believed. They both made terrible mistakes, but only one of them had a saviour. Recently, I've just written this tract, and you're welcome to take them. They're up the back there. It's on the Titanic. And I note in this tract that in the Titanic, when the Titanic was being launched on that maiden voyage, there were three classes of people that got on. First class, second class, and third class. When the Titanic sank, there were only two classes, saved and lost. There are only two classes of people in this church this morning, the saved and the lost. Judas was lost, Peter was saved. They both made mistakes, but Judas was a betrayer. "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." I wonder, is Jesus your Saviour? Is Jesus your firm foundation? Are you building your life upon the rock? The hymn writer wrote this hymn, was called "How Firm Foundation, Ye Saints of the Lord." And this is what he said. "The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, I will not desert to his foes." That's the truth of every believer. He will never leave us nor forsake us. This morning, the story of two men. One was a betrayer and one was a believer. "But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and forever. Amen."